There was an idea.
To bring together a group of remarkable people. To see if we could become something more.
And none of us need reminding that the NHL's two biggest stars in the last decade lock horns with a trip to the conference final on the line.
Washington Capitals come from a 2-0 deficit to win four straight, and they will advance against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
In time, you will know what it's like to lose, to feel so desperately that you're right, yet to fail.
2 seconds and one, and the defending champions are going to defend still. They're halfway there.
Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the season is not coming to an end. The Capitals were able to be triumphant against the Columbus Blue Jackets in just 6 games. And tell me if you've heard this before. The Caps are moving on to round 2 to face the Pittsburgh Penguins. Joining me as always, he said he's got deja vu. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
It really is. Third year in a row, the Caps and Pens in the second round.
Well, how many times overall is this that they have met in the postseason?
712.
It's like 11 or 12 times that these teams have met in the postseason.
That might be more than that.
Before we get into the Caps Penguins, though, let's recap the first 6 games of the postseason. Caps come back after losing 2 at home to start the season, the postseason, come back and win their first round. So, I mean, that's something. I mean, you lose 2 at home, come back, win 4 straight. That's something to be proud of.
Yeah, I say so. I mean, if you're going to go out and you're going to make it interesting, you might as well make an impression. I think that this team, they still have a lot of work to do. I mean, obviously, it's only the second round. They still have a lot of work to do to make themselves better and put themselves in a better position to move on. But I think they've definitely righted the ship as best they can right now. I think there's still definitely work to do in terms of players playing better. I think Tom Wilson needs to stop taking stupid penalties.
So what's some of the stuff you think they've done right? I mean, when we talked last week, they were in between games 3 and 4. So they only had 1 win under their belt. I mean, I was a little cautious saying whether or not I think they'd, you know, go any farther because I didn't know what team was going to show up for the rest of the opening round. But I mean, overall, these guys really did show up. They made some good changes and things were able to go their way.
Yeah, I think putting Holtby back in net, I think they made some changes. They brought Vrana back in.
And Juice. We saw Juice as well.
Juice came back in for Jakub Jarabek. I think Kempney stepped up. I think Brooks Orpik stepped up. I still want him gone in the offseason, but I do think he stepped up. I think we saw that a lot of the players stepped up and were able to play a lot better. TJ Oshie, we saw, got more out of him. I mean, currently in the playoffs, Carlson's leading the team in points. He's got a goal and 8 assists. So Ovechkin's got 5 goals and 3 assists. We still need to see more offense from Tom Wilson. He did all right at first and kind of dropped off. More offense from Brett Connolly and more offense from Jacob Vrana. So I still think we have a lot of work to do for this team, especially if they're going to get past the Penguins. But they're definitely playing better than they were before, but they're about to go up a very different team in terms of skill. Columbus was a very good team, and by all means, I think they're going to make it back in the playoffs, and they have a lot to look forward to going forward. It's one of, it was weird because, like, I remember last year, like, you start to hate Toronto. You hate – was that last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Last year. You hate Philly every time you play them. Players – you know, Rocco Gudas is a douchebag and those all kind of things. You really start to get annoyed with Toronto. I don't remember really being annoyed with Columbus. Like, I was annoyed that they were winning. But I don't remember anyone, like, any other players, like, being a dick. And no one was, you know, no one was being a Radko Gudas and, like, trying to hurt other people or anything and just right. going out of his way to do that. So, like, respect to Columbus. Like, Columbus. I thought they actually played – they played a good series, and they just – they got beat by a team that, on paper, just has better players. And, dude, let's talk about Panarin for a second. Like, aside from his name's kind of silly and sounds like Panera, that guy – that kid is good. Like, damn.
He's solid.
That dude is quite talented. I think they got Dubois is going to be good. They got a lot of good young players. Panarin, I think he's mid-20s, mid to late 20s, but he's, you know, he's got future league. I think they got some really good players moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. They got some young talent. This is a team that's going to be scary going forward. It's the same thing that I said about Toronto last year. It's a lot of young players. When they get a little bit more experience, they're going to be a real threat in the postseason come the next couple years. So let's win this year so we don't have to worry about it as much going forward. But the biggest thing that I was really impressed with was the amount of players, different players, scoring for the Capitals. It wasn't just Alexander Ovechkin, you know, every single game. He had some great ones. What, he had two in the last game. So always good to see Ovi score. But it was great to see this series, Devontae Smith-Pelly really step up, and he got a couple goals.
Dude, that goal in game, was that game six?
Yeah.
Damn, that was like he was skating down the ice. I was like, watch, he's gonna score here. And then, like, wasn't being serious. And he actually did. And I was like, whoa.
And that
nice
was,
goal, dude.
And that was the that his goal and Chandler Stephenson's goal in the last game.
Oh,
sweet goals, but you look at what came right before then. It was a non-call on a trip on Christian Juice, which led to a Columbus goal. And then Christian Juice, I believe, got a penalty. And these guys answered back by scoring these two goals. I was really happy and impressed with that because you are going to face a lot of non-calls going up against Pittsburgh going forward. We saw that in the last game with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. A non-call leads to a goal. It's good, though, if this team is responding by not just getting fed up and angry at the refs, but going out and actually doing something about it. So to see Chandler Stephenson score and Devontae Smith-Pelly, to see TJ Oshie score, which thank you, TJ Oshie, I got a free 8-inch pizza at Lido Pizza because of you the next day. It's good to see Jay Beagle back.
He's already like, you're welcome, Brandon.
Jay Beagle came back, scored his first game back in game two. This is a stacked offense, really. There's like you said, there's still some work to be done, but you've got guys on every line scoring, which is very important in the postseason.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, yeah, I mean, you do. Stephenson was playing on the second line when he got that pretty goal in game two, and that kid's definitely stepped up. He's doing quite well, and definitely I feel like, you know, he's going to have a good camp, obviously, but I feel like he's a mainstay on this roster moving forward. I do feel like this, they're getting something out of the playoffs. I think Stephenson did a great job. Someone else just said, I think we need to see more from Jacob Vrana offensively. I think he got a nice assist in game one. Then he got benched for game two. Not benched, but, like, you know, he's up in the press box for game two. I think he's come back and he's played well,
yeah.
But I need to see more of it on the score sheet. I need to see more from Brett Connolly on the score sheet. And I need to see more from Tom Wilson on the score sheet.
Connolly's too busy. He's handing out pucks to fans, making an impact that way.
That's true. I mean, that has kept him preoccupied,
right.
We'll say. I clicked the wrong link. I was trying to find the stats for the playoffs. Dang it. But, you know, that was a nice little story.
It was.
And that adult, whoever that guy was, like, idiot.
Well, no. This is what he probably – I'm thinking that guy was – that was his three kids.
Daniel, give it to the girl first. I didn't really pay that much attention to it, but, like, you give it to the girl first. She looks like she's the youngest, so you give it to her first no matter what.
Right. I mean
– I don't even have kids, and I know that.
I think – all right, so I don't have kids either, but I would, again, yes, say, you know – ladies first, so you give the puck to the girl first, but also he's probably like this dad who's got three kids who's like, I know he's going to continue to give pucks until the little girl gets one. Let me make sure all my kids are taken care of first before he just gets one, because then they're just going to fight the whole way home. So he's probably doing it for his own sanity.
Yeah, that dude is... That was dumb.
But I do agree, yes. Ladies first. The little girl should have got the puck first. Don't at me. I agree. But good story. I mean, but if she didn't get the, you know, if she did get the first puck, she wouldn't have been invited to the game. She wouldn't have sat in the suite with Ted Leonsis. Wouldn't have gotten a stick. Wouldn't have got to meet Brett Connolly. So it all worked out in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, it all works out in the long run. Things went nicely for her, and that's nice. Great, whatever. It was a nice story. But to get back to things on the ice, I mean, it seemed like the team, they woke up a bit after game two. They still had some shaky moments. Game four, there were parts where you're like, what are you doing, guys? You know, there's definitely some interesting things going on with this team, and it leaves you with room to be concerned going up against a Penguins team that are freaking flying right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they scored five or more goals in four of their six games against the Flyers.
That's insane.
So you're going up against a team that is putting pucks in the net like it's just the easiest thing in the world to do. So there's definitely a lot of work to do there in terms of shutting them down. Now, it's helpful because Evgeny Malkin and Carl Hagelin are day-to-day and have been ruled out of game one on Thursday.
Yeah, so with those two guys out, what does that do to the Penguins team? How are they going to adapt without those guys on the ice against the Capitals?
Well, they're going to have other guys that are going to need to step up, but you look at guys like Gensel.
Do they have that?
Yeah. I mean, they have a really good team. And then you go and you look at guys like Gensel that's stepping up, and he's getting a ton of points. And I don't know if you're necessarily seeing that from the Capitals. Like, you have your stars that are doing what they need to be doing. Carlson, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie. But Oshie's got 4 points in six games. You'd like to see he's got three or more goals. But then you look at Chandler Stephenson. He's the next guy up there. You're expecting someone like Tom Wilson or Brett Connolly or Jacob Vrana, if they're getting those big minutes, and Vrana got bumped down to the fourth line. But if you're getting those minutes, you need to be stepping up. And I don't think we're getting that from the Capitals right now. They're relying heavily, for the most part, on their big-name players.
Do you think Barry Trotz stays with Stephenson on the second line, Vrana on the fourth line?
I think we see the same lineup because it worked out so well for the past four games. I see no reason to switch it up at the moment. But if they struggle in these first two games to score goals, then I think we could see a change.
All right, so let's talk about one guy who will not be on the ice against the Penguins, Andrei Burakovsky. He's listed as week-to-week. He had a surgical procedure last week. He's definitely not going to be in game one. Do you think we see him at all in this Penguins series?
I'm going to say they might try and rush him back if they're in trouble. But if they're doing well, then I think they'll hold him off.
Yeah, because if they are doing well, like you said, we're not changing up the lines or anything like that. Why put Burakovsky in there? Rush him back, be quick about it, if things are going as well as they did in the last four games up against the Penguins. So why would you want to mess with that?
No, I think if things are working, you leave it alone unless you fully expect him to step right in and be able to do it. But even with what he was doing before, not given he only played, what was it, one game and then like a period of the game two, he had 0 points. Two penalty minutes. That's pretty much all he has to show. I think three shots on net, and that's all he had to show in four periods. So it's not exactly like he was, you know, bringing a ton to the table. So I think if they're doing well, then they hold him out and they don't rush him back. But if they're struggling, they may look to actually bring him back in as quickly as possible. But they're going to need everybody to be doing, you know, scoring points. I mean, before you were talking about which Penguins are stepping up with Malkin out and Hagelin out. Hagelin's only got 3 points in six games. Malkin's got five in five games. But you've got Crosby's got 13. Gensel's tied with him with 13. They both have 6 goals and 7 assists. Letang's got 7 points. Hornquist has got 6. Dumoulin's got 6. Kessel's got 5. I mean, you've got other guys that are scoring that aren't their big-name players. So the defense is going to be the thing that needs to step up in this series. It's not just the offense.
And I think we have seen the defense step up a little bit in the last couple games up against the Blue Jackets. You know, I was giving Dmitry Orlov some crap last week, and he really stepped up. He's looked really good. He's made some dumb mistakes, as he does in the last couple games, but he has done he's done well overall. Brooks Orpik has even stepped up a little bit and has been pretty good on the ice. I think, like you said, Kepney, you said on Twitter earlier this week during, I think, game six, you'd be okay with re-signing him and getting him on a new contract. You know what? I got to agree with you. I've been very impressed with Kepney, and I did not think I would be.
Kepney is 27, finishing up a contract with a $900,000 cap hit, which is not too bad. He is scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. I think you sign him to a three-year deal. Maybe can you get him for 1.5? That's not bad at all. I'll take that.
I was hoping for $950,000.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out. I need a little bit more of a raise. I'm sure there's actually probably some regulation the league has where, like, you have to give him a little bit more. I'll take him at 1.5. I don't know if I would go much higher than that. 1.75 maybe. But I mean, the offseason, when we talk about that, when it comes up, we still have to talk about Orpik and trying to get him off the books. But I wouldn't mind bringing Kepney back. I mean, I think they're going to get Madison Bowie, definitely another look in September. I think Juice has definitely earned his spot on the roster.
Sure.
Niskanen's still around unless they do that thing that I was talking about, maybe making a big trade. But I still like Niskanen on this team. Orlov, you got big money. He's not going anywhere. You got to re-sign Carlson. They got a lot of work to do in the offseason, let me tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. But the work at hand is the Penguins. We've been here before many times. Yep. Three in a row now, meeting them in round two. How does this Caps team differ this year than it has in the last 2 years? Because on paper, you look at it, and this is a team that is not as stacked, is not as what it would seem. What's the word I'm looking for?
Not as good.
Not as well versed. Like, hasn't been not as much as a veteran leadership.
There's a lot more question marks when it comes to the roster as built right now.
Right.
And so when you look at it, you're like, I don't know. You're not really confident in what this team is going to be able to do going forward. So the fact that they won the division, which wasn't expected, they were able to get past the Blue Jackets. We kind of expected that. I'm a bit surprised. I think if they're able to make a real run at the Penguins here and actually get past them, it'll definitely be a shocker. And I wonder how much of it is a result of the roster being maybe they're just gelling better than they did in the past. You know, it could just be that the veteran guys or the big name guys are stepping up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think the defense is doing well. You know, this defense could, I don't know if it's necessarily better. I think on paper, you look at it and you say this defense is not as good as last season, but I think they're playing better than they did last season, especially last year in the playoffs. And I think that is a big part as to why they're doing better. I mean, you know, they gave up a decent amount of goals against Columbus, especially in those first two games. But I do think that the team overall is playing better right now at this point in the season than they were last year.
Yeah, last year they seemed very lost against Toronto, and you felt the confidence in the captain, in Ovechkin. He came out after game two and said, "We're going to Columbus for two games. We're coming back with two wins, and we're coming back for game five in DC tied." And they did it. And you could feel Ovi was like, you know, "I'm not worried. This is how we're going to do things." Do you think?
Well, he always kind of acts that way.
Well, I mean, he's sort of, but like you kind of saw it in his eyes. He was legit here. He was, you know, this was different. It felt different to me at least.
Well, they're in a better position because they ran off four straight as opposed to kind of like battling. You know, I mean, you battle it out, but it was a different level when you're like, you win two, you lose one, you win one, you lose two, that kind of thing. Like, it's going back and forth. This was, they struggled at the beginning, and they're like, "All right, we got to actually get our heads out of our butts and play better." And then they ran off four straight where they had moments in these games where they were just flat out dominating. And so I feel like at this point, going into the series against the Penguins, that they have more confidence than they did last season at the same time.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's going to be better for them going into it. Now, you're also going into a team like the Penguins, who their confidence may take a little bit of a hit because they're missing on Malkin and Hagelin, but they also have a lot of confidence because they just blew up the Flyers like they were a freaking wreck team playing on Saturday afternoon. I mean, they scored, what, 7 in the first game? Was it 8?
Yeah, they got a touchdown in game 1.
Like, Jesus. So this is definitely a situation where both teams have a lot of confidence. But in regards to the Capitals, I feel like they're definitely mentally in a better position now than they were at this point last season.
Which isn't that – I mean, maybe it's just me, but isn't that kind of wild? The fact that last year, the last 2 years, this team was stacked. It had superstars. I mean, it had Stanley Cup team written all over it. And this year on paper, this is not as good of a team. This is a team that is a little unknown, that isn't as well known as the players. Like, we got, again, Kepney and Jerebeck, and I had no idea who those two guys were at the trade deadline.
Kepney, I had heard of. Jerebeck, you know, I think that might have been the first time.
Right. So, like, on paper, this is a team where there's, like you said, a lot of question marks, but at the same time, the confidence is higher than it was a year or two ago. That's wild. Not the Minnesota Wild, but that's crazy.
It's, Jesus, Brandon, that was terrible. It was, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It does play a big part. I mean, if you go through and you a team that's, you know, Columbus is a good team. Every team is in the playoffs is a good team. And if you're able to go in and just dominate them through a first-round series, you know, you sweep them in 4 games, you get a lot of confidence from it. I think the fact that the Caps started out slow and then just were able to roll out 4 straight, I think right now they're beating their chest a little bit. And they're like, yeah, we can do this. So I definitely think they're in a better position going into the series against the Penguins than they have been in the past. I think – and with real confidence, not sort of that false sense of bravado where you see when they had, like, back in the earlier days, like the Young Guns era, where they were just like, we could do anything, we don't care, and then they got blown out. So it's like, I think this team is very different now than they were then.
You remember your 20s? Man, that was a fun time, wasn't it?
No.
Nobody can stop us.
No, I don't remember. I mean, yeah, it was, yeah, you're like, yeah, and then reality hit, and you're like, oh.
Oh, now I'm in bed at 10.
You might be. I got to get up early on Friday. I'm still going to bed late. I just run on adrenaline all day, and then I get home, and I'm just like, good night.
Red Bull.
And then I can't do that. Oh, God, I can't do that anymore. Dude, that, talk about not being your 20s. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I know. And then I got to run a 5K on Saturday morning. Damn it.
Crazy.
Poor timing. But it'll be fun. So, and it's a nice one because it's the hard cider run. So at the end of it, you get a glass and you get a nice little commemorative glass and one that has hard cider in it.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of hard cider. So can I just go hang out the finish line waiting for you?
Hey, you want to meet me over in Gettysburg? It's fine.
Oh, Gettysburg. Nice. Oh, yeah.
So, well, it's not, it's like near Gettysburg. I forget the name of the town. But it's like a winery or a farm or something. It's great because it's going to rain all day Friday and I got to run through freaking pastures.
You know how to make plans.
I got to remember to bring another pair of shoes is what I got to do because I'm changing out of the running shoes afterwards. I'm walking out like, through the – we've gotten way off topic.
I know. But
so game one is Thursday at 7.
Yeah, speaking of making plans, the NHL has said game one will be on Thursday night. Believe it's at 7:30, and no more local broadcasts, so no more Joe B. And
yeah, they gotta listen to the Penguins, love,
or listen to John Walton through the Amazon Echo or something like that. But
that's true. I gotta hook that up because I have one of those, and I can't figure out how to do it.
It's not hard, not hard at all. But I'll walk you through it once we get off air. But anyway, I mean, this is a little I don't know if people enjoy me talking about like ratings and television stuff, but it fascinates me. I'm kind of shocked that the NHL would start this round of the Stanley Cup playoffs on the NFL draft night, and it's technically opening night for Avengers, a movie people have been waiting 10 years now.
See, I already got my tickets for Saturday.
You see, I haven't gotten my tickets or anything like that yet. I was planning to go tomorrow night at the first showing, so no spoilers, but then they announced Caps Penguins. And I'm like, all right, I got to watch Caps Penguins game one instead. So what do you think? Like, do you think that kind of goes in their mind when they're making the schedule? Or is it one of those things like, well, we got to do it when we do it?
The only thing they care about is getting rink time. You know, you'd think like game one could have been Friday, but the Wizards have game 6, I want to say.
Yeah.
At Capital One on Friday. And so, you know, you're going to have to you know, make it work. I don't think they care. The NFL draft, the Avengers, they don't care.
I saw on Twitter today, who posted? I can't remember, but some guy was talking about how, you know what? Ryan Drury actually responded, and that's how I saw it. Some dude, like a college in Canada or in Toronto, was saying that they were having class there was an exam from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. tonight. And I was like, and everyone's pissed because it's right in the middle of game 7. And I was like, yeah, that really wasn't a great plan by that professor. Like, I get it. It's just sports, but let's be realistic here.
But it's also hockey in Canada.
Oh, it's 2-2. Yeah, I know, right?
They should know better.
So it's 2-2, a little over halfway through the first. Toronto was up 1-0. Nice to see the defense that showed up in that game.
There's four games in the first period? Or four goals?
Yeah. Wow. Defense showed up.
All right, so we know Crosby, we know Malkin won't be there, but what about goaltending? Matt Murray, he has had a sort of a rocky season, at least through the regular season. He's gone through some personal issues, gone through a couple injuries. He's been pretty good up against Philadelphia. What can we expect from Matt Murray?
I think when you go up against Sergei Bobrovsky in Columbus, then you're going
a good buffer.
You're going against one of the better goaltenders in the league. So I think Matt Murray, you've got to do the same things. You got to crash net. You got to make life difficult for him. You got to screen and do whatever you can to take him off his game and make, you know, keep him moving so that it's going to be hard for him to see the puck and be able to stop it. I think if you just keep taking point shots from the outside when he has plenty of time and space to see the puck, and things are not, it's not going to work.
Do you think the Caps have learned it all to put somebody in front of that net to get those dirty goals? To get,
I mean, they do to some extent.
Like, you do see it. I mean, if you look at, like, Wilson had the one where he tipped it in, and he redirected it. And so they do it to some extent, but I feel like they don't always do it enough, and that's how other teams are able to stay in games or in series, is because they have opportunities to score, and they're just not doing enough. I feel like the Caps need to definitely make life more difficult for a team next season. Or next season, Jesus, what is wrong with me? Need to make life more difficult for the other team's goaltender now and next season.
It's very true. What about our goaltender? What about Braden Holtby? He has looked nothing.
You wanted his net back.
Yeah, he looks more confident than ever in those last four games against Columbus. He's looked like the Holtby of old. But this is also the same guy that told everybody he went to his sports therapist in between the Penguins games last year, and he kind of got straightened out. Do you see him getting rattled in the first games again, or maybe has this the benching that he got towards the end of the regular season, not starting the Stanley Cup playoffs, lit a fire under his butt and actually did some good for him?
I mean, maybe. I think he's. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say exactly. I think that the team needed someone to step up into that position. I don't think they got good enough play from Grubauer. I think the defense needed a bit of a step up, and I think the goalie change not only gave Holtby a little bit of a wake up in terms of what he needed to do by not starting right away, because Grubauer was the better goaltender in terms of his production at the moment or at that time. But I think when they went back to him, the defense, maybe they were just a little more confident. Maybe they were a little more relaxed. Mm-hmm. Then they were with Grubauer. I mean, you have a kid going into the net who isn't, historically as good, then you play a little differently. You're a little bit more cautious. You're not quite, you might be doing a little bit more that then takes you away from being able to do something else, and you're not playing a well-rounded game. I think the team just has more, the players themselves have more confidence in Holtby, or just they're more comfortable with Holtby than they are with Grubauer. And that's not necessarily saying something negative about Grubauer. It's just a reality that, for the most part, these guys have played longer with Holtby being their go-to guy than Grubauer.
All right. I agree with that. I think Holtby has looked solid. The team has been here before. He's been here before. I'm hoping that he doesn't get rattled like he has in the past. But I also think that's something the Penguins are going to do. I think they're going to do their best to agitate him. And that may be where Tom Wilson comes in and tells him to stop it. But what else do the Capitals have to do here to get ready and be ready for the Penguins? I mean, it's like, you and I were talking earlier. I was like, I don't want to continue to use the old Batman Joker line. I think we're destined to do this forever. But that's definitely what it feels like. It seems like every spring there's a date in between these two teams. And 10 out of the 11 times that they have done this, it's been Pittsburgh's series and they would win. I mean, it's the Caps are making history in the opening round. I think it's time to make some history in the second round as well.
I agree, good sir. It's time to step it up. It's definitely time to step it up.
Now, if we have question marks in our books of like what players can do, that type of thing, do the Penguins look at the Capitals the same way? Oh, we don't know what this guy can do. We don't know what that guy can do. We don't know what the kind of buttons to push is. Could that actually, like, you know, be in our favor?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm sure they've been scouting. They know specifically what they can do. They probably know more or less what the Caps can do, and it's just going to be a matter of trying to shut down their big name guys and slow down their high flying offense while being able to make life difficult for Matt Murray and the other goal.
Now, one guy who I don't know if we're going to see or not, but the Capitals recalled Nathan Walker. Do you think he sees any ice time, or is he just a guy to be there in practice?
I think he's a guy to be there in practice. They brought him up for funsies.
Because who's the other guy? Shane Gersick, right? He's still hanging around too.
Yeah, he's there. I don't know. I saw that today and I was like, why?
Well, these are
two. They want him to get the experience in practicing with these guys, and that makes sense. But other than that, I don't know.
Do these guys compare at all to any Penguins players? Are there any tiny, young, fast players on the Penguins team that they kind of want to be like, these are the guys you're going to, type of guys you're going to face? Get ready because, you know, they're fast or something like that.
I don't know if I know the Penguins roster quite well enough to be able to make that call. But, you know, I think you need some extra bodies. And I think some of it is looking to the future in terms of just getting Walker some more ice time at the NHL level, even if it's just in practice.
Because, unfortunately, the Hershey Bears season is over. So he's just I'm surprised he's not back in Australia already.
You know. It's a long flight. Maybe he didn't want to go.
Anything else we should cover in Caps world? I feel like we talked for a good amount of time, but I still feel like it's Caps Penguins. Like, we should have more to say.
I think we'll have more to say after the first game. I think next week when we're chatting, we'll have a better feeling of what's going on. I think, you know, it's here we go again. We can go back. We can do what everyone else is going to do and go back into the history. And every year we see this happen. You know, it's a reality of the NHL and the way they're doing the playoffs right now where you have to get out of your division. And we knew it was going to be Penguins moving on to the next round, that they weren't going to be stopped by the Flyers, barring a, you know, ridiculous performance by that team. And it's the Flyers. So that wasn't going to happen. So here we are again.
Here we are again. So I think that's
the name of tonight's episode.
We're talking about the Avengers and stuff like that. This feels like Doctor Strange. You know how he gets caught in a loop in the movie?
It kind of fit well. If they lose again, it definitely will.
Let's hope they can break out of that loop. All right, so that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Oh no, we actually have something else. We got to bring up Brooks Orpik. He got an award, right?
All right, well, he wasn't given the award per se, but the Capitals named him as their King Clancy Memorial Trophy nominee for the 2017-18 season. Now, that trophy goes to the player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made a noteworthy humanitarian contribution in his community. Now, the King Clancy Trophy winner receives $40,000 donation from the NHL Foundation to benefit a charity of the winner's choice, and the winner is selected by a panel led by Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. Those two idiots. But either way, Orpik does a lot of stuff in terms of things around the community, and I think he's definitely deserves the opportunity to be nominated and potentially win this award.
That's good for Brooks Orpik. I mean, he doesn't get a lot of love in the Caps fan base. So,
oh hey, I just saw. You know who was nominated by the Winnipeg Jets?
Who's that?
Good old Matty Hendricks.
Oh. He's a good guy. He deserves that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. All right, well.
The Canucks and Henrik Sedin. Guys, we know it's their last season, but come on. Now, I'm sure they do a lot of great stuff for Vancouver. They actually plan to stay in Vancouver after they've retired. But I'm retired. That was a dumb joke. Anyways, so that's that's pretty cool for Orpik and Hendricks and all the other guys that got nominated.
I would also like to retire in Vancouver.
That's a nice town.
I'm just putting that out there. All right.
Nice town.
So that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Go Caps. Let's beat those Penguins. Now let's go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Caps announced that head coach Troy Mann and assistant coach Ryan Murphy will not be returning to the Bears next season. So they, like Arsenal Football Club, are looking for a new head coach.
So
let's head on down.
So, Coach, do you think they took? Do you think they took them out to pasture?
Let's head on down to South Carolina. Unfortunately, we're laughing now, but it's unfortunate. The Stingrays were eliminated from the Kelly Cup playoffs after being swept by Orlando. So that's it for the Capitals minor league affiliates and their opportunity to bring home some silverware this season, as both Hershey and Carolina seasons have come to an end. In other non-farm team news, but I felt like talking about it, I discovered recently that the Edinburgh Capitals, and the only reason I like them is because, A, I like the town of Edinburgh. It's a fantastic city in Scotland. If anyone has the chance to go, you should definitely go. And they have the same name as the Caps, which is just kind of fun. They recently failed in their bid for ice time next season at Murrayfield Ice Rink and will likely be closing up shop in the Scottish city.
What?
So there's more to the story I was actually looking researching a bit today. So another team that I guess closed up shop or moving on to entirely sure, they were like bidding for the ice time that the other team got because the Edinburgh Capitals don't own the rink. And so the rink went with the other team. But the other team is not part of the British Elite Hockey League or whatever it's called. I guess the Elite Ice Hockey League or something. So if they, I don't know what's going to happen. Like if they don't get in and the league doesn't let them in, then the Capitals may get the ice time back. But either way, this doesn't really have anything to do with the Washington Capitals, although their names are the same, but I thought it was kind of fun, and I thought it would be cool, and I really like the city of Edinburgh. Like, it's one of my favorite cities in the world. But then I also found it interesting because, and I think we talked about this before, this past season, the head coach of the Capitals, the Edinburgh ones, was former Washington Capital, Dmitry Kristich. Though, he resigned this past December, citing a need for the team to have a new voice. But I still thought it was pretty cool. And now I really wanted – this is the team that I tweeted out in, I want to say, November or December, being like, I'm coming over in January. I probably won't be able to get to a game. Where can I buy some Capitals merch? And they were like, you can buy it online or at the stadium. And I was like, that's not – all right. And I was kind of hoping they'd be like, an American's coming? Let's give them some for free or make a big deal out of it. And they were just like, buy it online. I was like, oh, okay.
Did you tell them that you were the co-host of What the Puck? That would have
I did not.
That would have put them over.
But I thought it was like, I thought maybe they'd have like a little shop in town, or like maybe there's like a sports store in town that has like, you know, some football gear and some hockey, maybe they have a hockey thing, a rugby. Because rugby, they have this massive stadium just outside of Edinburgh, Murrayfield, which is just huge. And the rugby is a huge thing in Scotland, as you can imagine. So that kind of sucks because they had a cool logo. It's like a line. So it's a bit disappointing. But Brent, if they end up actually folding and I can get some gear for cheap, I'm going to go ahead and get a jersey or a t-shirt. And I'll wear it one day when we're doing the show. Or I'll wear it at a Caps game. That'll be fun.
There you go.
So yeah, that's somehow what's going on down on the farm.
Interesting. All right. Well, terrible down on the farm, actually. That was like three bad news stories.
That's real.
God, that's depressing.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Brandon, I'm going to send you a picture of the Edinburgh Capitals jerseys from 2015-16. They're, like, actually really cool.
You cool or me cool?
No, my cool. Not Well, actually, so they feel like they'd be cool. More your – No. I feel like – shut up. More your style, because your style is kind of – they're, like, they're a little off. I'm a little bit more basic.
I'm a little off. I love it.
You're a little off, man. All right. Check it out. Should I get the white one or the blue one?
Oh, your phone. You sent it to my phone, not on the
chat. I'm not going to take a picture on the computer. Folks, can you listen to this guy? Come on. What does he think?
I'd go blue.
See, I'm thinking the white one.
Of course you are.
You
friggin' vanilla dude.
That, what's that got to do with it? All right, Brian, I think we should continue on with the show.
So is that like the Edinburgh flag in the background? Like the blue X?
The blue and the white is the Scottish flag.
That's the Scottish flag. Really?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, I don't know flags, apparently. All right. Well, that right. is it for what's going on. It is the Scottish Scotland flag. All right.
Will you not believe me?
I had to just double check.
Hey, it's like 62. Oh, God. I don't even know what shipping would be. That's a little scary, but it's like 62, 63 bucks. That's not bad.
It's very much like a KHL jersey. A lot of
for lures. A hockey jersey. I mean, you got to. What?
It's very much like a KHL jersey. A lot of logos.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's not. It's like a huge league, so they, you know, you get a lot of that money coming in for advertising.
Gotta get that product placement. All right, well, that is it for what's going on down on the farm. I'm sorry it was so depressing, but we'll get past it.
No, we wrapped it up nicely with talking about, as we tend to do, jerseys and such.
There is a Capitals jersey on eBay, Edinburgh Capitals jersey on eBay.
Does it look like the one that I'm talking about?
It, no. Looks totally different.
I like this one.
All right, so that's
it. I like this one better. This is as I was down on the farm, but I would like for teams to do what you see in European football and soccer in the U.S., is they change their jerseys style every 1 or 2 years. I mean, I think fairly certain that in European football, it's every year. They're home and away. Change and occasionally like a third or fourth jersey. I want to start seeing that in the NHL. I want to see, you know, change it up every couple of years.
That's bull because that's so
you gotta
cool.
buy a new jersey all the time.
Well, number one, yes, but you hate
because you don't have to.
You hate new stuff. That stadium series.
I do not.
That stadium series jersey
sucks.
That Winter Classic jersey with the stripes on the shoulders. You hated all that. You wanted the traditional vintage jersey.
I didn't like those because they were crap. These are expensive.
I'll find these once a week. Lost your mind. Oh man! All right, we're going off the rails.
Brett, we do that from time to time. Brady, what do you think? Blue or white? Which one? All right, moving on.
Hey, this one I sent you is only $15 to ship. That ain't bad.
Yeah, but it's like 75. Okay, moving on.
Where's it coming from? Hold on. I got to find out where it's shipping from.
I would imagine Edinburgh.
You'd think.
Oh, God, I have to use some measurements? Measurements.
Shipping from the Ukraine.
It's random. All right, anyways, let's go ahead and go around the NHL.
Yeah, let's do that. Thanks, everybody. Go Bears, go Stingrays.
Enjoy the offseason.
Enjoy those golf courses. Now, everybody, let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. If the Boston Bruins win tonight, I will have gotten one team wrong on my bracket. Thank you, San Jose, for ruining it. But anyway, Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, before we talk about the playoffs, let's make a quick stop in Minnesota where they fired general manager
Bruce
Chuck
Boudreau.
Fletcher. No, he's not the general manager. Okay? He's the head coach at the moment. But when they find a new general manager, then we'll see what happens with Bruce Boudreau. Let's go ahead and check in on the Stanley Cup playoffs, Brandon. We'll start in the West.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be the Sharks and the Golden Knights. Brandon, what's your prediction?
Golden Knights all the way.
In how many games?
Six.
I'm saying Knights in seven.
Okay.
All right. The other teams coming out of the West. We got the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators. Brandon, who you got?
I got Predators.
In?
That'll go seven. I can see seven.
Yeah, I'm saying same thing. Predators and seven.
Makes sense.
And Jets are a good team. They're definitely an up-and-coming team. I have an old Jets jersey. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, really. But I'm saying Predators at seven. We'll head over to the East where Boston and Toronto are playing at the moment. So when you're listening to this on, what is this, Wednesday night or Thursday or Friday, whenever it is you decide to chime in, or not chime in, but listen to us. Personally, it doesn't matter to me who Tampa's getting to play, because I'm saying Tampa in five.
I originally picked Boston to win this series, and if Boston wins, then Boston in seven. If Toronto wins, Tampa Bay in five.
Wait, did you say Boston is going to win in seven over Tampa?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Boston's legit. I think they are kind of like the underdogs a little bit. Not underdog. That's the wrong term. I'm having a bad thoughts tonight. I can't really think that well. But they're under the radar. That's what I'm trying to say. They're kind of an under the radar team.
Yeah, so that's the news for the past week in the NHL.
You don't want to talk Caps Pens? You don't want to say?
Nope.
You want jinx? All right.
Nope. I think there was other NHL awards that were announced, but I don't know
there. I will say this about Caps Penguins. I do think it'll go to seven games. I don't think that's a bad thing to say. I think both these teams are legit.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, here's a better one. Oh, good question. How many of these games go to overtime?
Three.
I'm going to say five out of seven go to overtime.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Five? I can't deal with that. That's too many.
Yeah. Caps Penguins, man. Yeah, so is that the show?
That's it this week.
All right, guys. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is go to Twitter, tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals stuff. See how they're doing against the Penguins. Try and tweet during the games if I'm not doing other stuff. You can find me also talking about Arsenal Football Club with Arsene Wenger after 22 years. We'll be stepping down at the end of the season as manager of the club. And it'll be exciting to see who the next guy is. Personally, I would like Allegri from Juventus to come on in and put this team back where they belong, on top. That's right, Brian Drury, not Chelsea. Suck it. You can also find me talking about all sorts of other fun things. Definitely not about the Redskins. I'm putting a pause on that one. Might start having to follow another football team. But no, Brandon, it's not going to be the Ravens. Can't do it.
Come on.
Nope. Too many people from Montgomery County. We were Skins fans. When the Ravens came on board, we're like, I'm going to go be a Ravens fan now. And I was like, y'all a bunch of abandoners. But I can't talk about the Skins anymore. It's not even all the losing, because I've been through all that. You know? I've been through all the losing, and that didn't stop me. Every year I was like, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to sign 20 guys in the offseason, and we suck. But I stuck with them. It's the bull you know what they do. All like Scott McLuhan may not have been the guy that really was going to build this team up to be able to complete the playoffs. I think he could have done it. Fact is, that guy knows football, and the way that they not only got rid of him, but then tried to throw him under the bus regarding his personal demons that were going on was just wrong in every way, like Radko Gudas levels of wrong in every way of the word. So F Snyder, F what's Bruce Allen, those guys, I'm done. All Skins gear is put away. I'm going to go be a Bills fan because my dad's from Buffalo. It's got to be a team that I have some sort of association with, which means either the Ravens or the Bills or the Giants, because my grandfather's a Giants fan. But that's the same division as the Skins, and that's just too weird. So, might have to go be the Bills because I can't do it with the Ravens. I couldn't do it. It's
you
too know, weird.
If you want to go to a Ravens preseason game, I'll take you. We can go.
I like M&T Bank Stadium. I have no problem with the Ravens per se. I just can't be a fan of the team because there's too much smack. And I went to school with you guys, and I was, following the Skins more at the time. And everyone was talking so much S, and I was like, screw you guys. You and Phil, screw you both. So, and everybody else up there. So, I got to learn who the players are because I don't really know the Bills very well.
RG3, he's your boy.
Dude, that rookie season, goddamn, that kid was good.
Then he met with the Ravens.
No, he was good. We still beat you guys. We were better that season.
Because of Kirk Cousins.
And that, no. The game or that season?
That game, and then we won the Super Bowl.
Was that the year y'all won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I thought that was next year.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Griffin probably could have kept playing if they hadn't spray painted over dirt at FedEx Field to make it look like it was grass because they're a bunch of freaking morons. Anyways, somehow that was following me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. If you want to tweet to me and tell me about who the Bills players are, I don't really know anybody.
It's OJ, right?
Because they had Tyrod Taylor to trade him to Cleveland, so they need a quarterback.
He was a good guy. He was a former Raven.
I don't know how much. I was surprised. I thought he did okay. You know, unless they're going to go out and get one of these kids that's coming out. I want Barkley if that kid's going to be good. I'll take him up Buffalo. But somehow that was out on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you like the show and all of the ridiculous banter that Brandon and I get to, where we spend more time talking about fashion and other sports outside of hockey and the Washington Capitals, go ahead and follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com. It's follow, like, subscribe, whatever the terminology. I think it's like on Facebook. At Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod, you'll find out when new shows are coming out, when other things regarding the Washington Capitals or the NHL. If you want a place to go to get more information, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. But Brandon, can you do us a solid and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
And go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here. Like Coach Dan said, the NFL draft is coming up. If you want to listen to the Baltimore Ravens podcast I do called The Call, you can find it on any podcast app you listen to What the Puck on, because we're on all of them. So a new show will be coming out next week for that. This is usually part of the show where I tell you what's going on coming up for the cap schedule. But it's not released as we're recording this. All we know is Thursday night, around 7:30, Caps Penguins is supposed to happen. I don't even know what channel that's going to be on. But it's kind of up in the air what's going to happen next. I'm assuming Game 2 is Saturday. We'll see. Who knows? But anyway, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review, Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Zack Snyder, the only guy that's still on Vero, go tell him to listen to What the Puck, because he's posting Deathstroke pictures, and that's the only other thing going on Vero besides actually Vero posting about themselves. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Caps Pens, baby, here we go. It's the biggest rivalry in sports. It's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. Lots of great hockey coming on. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Caps announced that head coach... Jesus, let me try that again. I can't speak.
Head coach.
Head quick! That's why, man. Let's start. Hold on.